Everyone, Farmington Mayor Nate Duckett, thank you for joining us for another episode of the Mayor's Table. With me today is Airport Manager Mike Lewis. We're going to be talking about the continued efforts the city of Farmington is making in order to bring back commercial air service to the Four Corners Regional Airport. Hi everyone, Farmington Mayor Nate Duckett. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Mayor's Table. With me today, as promised in the last episode, is Four Corners Regional Airport Manager, Michael Lewis. Michael.
Good morning, Mayor. It's good to be here with you.
It's been a long time since we've had you.
Sure has been a long time.
And not a lot has changed at the airport. Well, there has been a lot that's changed, actually.
There's been quite a bit that's changed. We sort of got into a stagnation phase with COVID, but...
I don't use that word, Mike. That's the C word. Mike, we wanted to bring you on the show because there's been a lot of activity that probably most people aren't aware of that's occurred out at Four Corners Regional Airport, and specifically just in regards to the investment that's been made probably the last 5-6 years.
Yes, sir.
As we have continued our mission to try and attract a commercial air carrier back to this area, but not only the work, but also the activities that are already going on with our current companies that are flying in and out of Four Corners Regional Airport. Mm-hmm. And I thought having you on today would be good for folks to kind of get a background on what's happening, where we're at, where we're going. And you know, you are a man with a lot of knowledge, a lot of history in the airline industry, which I always find interesting to find. I mean, how many years did you work for Mesa?
I was there with 25 years.
25 years. And then the last...
9 years I've been there.
9 years with the city of Farmington.
So that's correct.
Well-respected individual throughout the state when it comes to airport management, airlines, and we just appreciate all that you do. So,
thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely,
Mike. We, let's kind of talk a little bit about what's transpired. We lost Great Lakes, but before Great Lakes, we were a hub for Mesa Airlines, maybe the headquarters for Mesa Airlines.
That's correct. We were
and. Things, of course, changed, and a lot of that had to do with some landlocked issues. We weren't able to expand the air, the runway. Because we're up on top of a mesa,
right?
And
exactly.
As regulations have continued to come down from the FAA, those requirements to lengthen runways is unfortunately we weren't able to meet much of those. But that has changed for us.
Well, exactly, and I think a lot of people in the community will remember Mesa Airlines. They were founded here in Farmington. They started flying in the early 80s and continued to grow and actually grew into the largest regional carrier in the country. And throughout the years that Mesa was here, Farmington enjoyed a fantastic amount of air service. We had more than a dozen flights a day to Albuquerque, many flights to Phoenix and Denver per day. So. It was really quite a heyday when Mesa was here. Matter of fact, in 1995, we enplaned. In other words, 83,000 people got on the airplane up here in the Farmington terminal. So it really was a booming activity. As many things are ever changing. And our friends to the north in Durango decided that they wanted to try to move air service in their direction, and we're able to put together a subsidy situation for flights with American Airlines, and American Airlines started flying into Durango, ever increasing the number of boardings in Durango.
So what year was that that all transpired? Was that after we had already lost Mesa?
No.
No, that's when Mesa was still flying here.
That's when Mesa was still flying here, absolutely.
So we still, okay.
And then there's a lot of other things. There's a lot of moving parts. For an example, the agreements that Mesa had, as Mesa grew, like all the other regional carriers in the country, they formed alliances with major airline partners. So, for an example, Mesa became an operator as a United Express into Denver, America West Express into Phoenix. And in other parts of the country, they even flew as a US Air Express. So, but as those those agreements with their major partners began to mature, the major partners demanded more control over where they, their companies flew. And so they more or less directed Mesa to move the operation out of Farmington, and they moved to Phoenix to better serve one of their major partners, which was America West. However, in the meantime, at the same time, Durango was attracting traffic, and these carriers, in looking at the number of people that boarded the airplane, noticed the rising numbers of boardings in Durango, and they decided to shift their focus of flying to the Four Corners into Durango. And that left Farmington with one small carrier, Great Lakes Airlines, that flew here for 10 or 12 years as the only carrier that we had with service to Denver, at some points in time for service to Phoenix. And that's what we had when I came here to the airport in 2014.
You know, a lot of folks will talk about the city council's decision not to move the airport as one of the critical, you know, critical points where we, you know, we unfortunately put a nail in the coffin, so to speak, of maintaining jet service, because there was an opportunity for us to move it to the Crouch Mesa area where there was more land available. There was some other things with that property out there as well, as I understand, with the oil with the oil pumps and things that were going on, that and gas activity.
Believe it or not, at the airport office, I have about every file that there ever was created at the airport, and I actually have drawings that were drawn up by an engineering firm in Denver for that airfield with two runways. That means it really could have been an airport, and it wouldn't have been, as you mentioned before, runway length limited by the terrain. We are on a mesa, as everyone knows, and at the ends of those runways, it pretty much drops down, in many cases, into the city. Is affectionately known by many pilots as the Farmington aircraft carrier because of the way that the runways go to the end of the property.
Sure. Interesting. So we were in a position. Great Lakes was here. They were operating. They faced some challenges organizationally, staffing, that led to a lot of canceling flights, which, of course, destroys your reputation and the trustworthiness of the public to book your airline if they don't think they're going to be able to actually get a flight out of Farmington.
Right.
That hurt us quite a bit. And then eventually, because of the pilot shortage that occurred, at an interesting point, the FAA adopted rules that increased the required hours for pilots and for co-pilots.
So for co-pilots mostly,
specifically.
Yes. Right.
That bumped them up to the 1,500-hour requirement.
That's correct.
And that, of course, led to a vacuum effect of, you know, pilots who did meet that criteria getting sucked up to the larger airlines out of the regional air service industry, and you know, makes perfect sense. But Absolutely. That left a void of pilots below.
Because I think many people will remember at one time there was a Mesa had a program with a college. It was a pilot college program that they were able to put to young men and young women through training to become first officers in the aircraft that Mesa was flying. What normally happens is that a young man or young woman that studies aviation, especially in college, and gets all of the ratings necessary to go to the airlines, ends up graduating with about 300 or 350 hours. And as you mentioned, the new rule that changed in 2013 required that they have 1,500 hours. So there's a major issue with them being able to add those hours
to get to that point.
To give you an example, there are many, many military pilots that are flying the latest technology that after their military commitment can leave the military with only 800 or 1,000 hours or less. So it's really a difficult situation, and it created that pilot shortage, which happened to hit companies like Great Lakes much harder than it did the major airlines. But we've all seen in the last few years, even the major carriers, one in particular is being Southwest, having critical problems with their operations due to the shortage of crew members. And
yeah, this Christmas was a little rough for them.
It sure was. And the Christmas before was a little rough for just about everybody. Mm-hmm. So it's an ongoing problem. It's a massive problem.
But there is some companies out there that are kind of taking this situation into their own hands, and they're maybe you could tell us a little bit about what these pilot training programs are doing.
Yes, within the companies. Basically, there's three different programs that are kind of in place right now. Some of these regional carriers, the major carriers like United and Southwest and Delta, they take their pilot group from the regional carriers. So the regional carriers are usually the first hire of pilots. Some of them have a lot of very sophisticated deals with colleges to try to bring people into a cadet program and move them through to get their hours. One of the most innovative programs that I've seen is SkyWest Airlines, based in Utah. They have reconfigured their aircraft in such a way that they can use first officers with less than required 1,500 hours.
What is that? So up to... Is it up to 30 seats?
That's correct.
You're not required to have 1,500 hours?
That's correct.
How many hours are you required to have?
They're just required to have their ratings. And you won't be able to get all the ratings without having about 300 hours.
Okay.
So they're required to have their commercial, multi-engine instrument ratings in order to be able to do that. So, and that's the way it is around the world. And that's the way it was in the United States until 2013.
So, that part always I find interesting. So, we went from 350 hours to 1,500 hours, but the rest of the world is still at 350 hours.
They're all those ratings. They don't have
all the
hour limit.
All the ratings.
Which generally, now the reality was, yeah, they would find people that had 400 or 500 hours, maybe 700 hours, but the minimum requirement at United Airlines was 250 hours with all those ratings. Almost impossible to get those ratings in that amount of time, but that's the way it was. So SkyWest Airlines has decided to take 20 seats out of their 50 passenger jets. That'll leave 30 seats in there. Very luxurious cabin with only 30 seats.
I got to think, a lot of leg room.
Absolutely a lot of leg room.
Sounds like a really nice flight.
It would be a nice flight. And what they'll do is that'll be a pilot generator for them. They'll use this aircraft in some of the smaller, leaner markets that can justify 30 seats and generate pilots with 1,500 hours to then fly in the other divisions of their company where they have the full seat load, like 50, 70, or 100 passenger airplanes.
Sure.
So, and the other very innovative program is Mesa Airlines has purchased a number of like 50 or 60 small European-made light sport aircraft that are two-seat airplanes. They have a program they're offering these young pilots where they'll split the cost of flying that airplane to build to 1,500 hours. And they've been... I've spoken to them, and they appear to be interested in maybe looking at Farmington as one of their bases for doing that.
Well, that would be great. That's interesting. Interesting. How many? Do they say how many planes, or kind of maybe what that amount? You don't need to get into details if you don't want to talk.
Well,
about it,
well, yeah. I mean,
because I know we're working on some of these plans, and
right.
as we speak. So,
well, the thing is that I know we had a Mesa program here before, and. It was a primary training program, so they were doing a lot of touch and goes at the airport. These students will be interested in building time, so the airplane will theoretically take off in the morning and go out on a two-hour mission. They'll fly to southern Utah, they'll fly to Arizona. They're into building time in the airplane, so it won't be the pattern buzzing that we've seen in the past.
Okay,
and we would probably end up. I would think probably 10 or 15 airplanes here and the students that would go along with it.
I mean, all activity that can happen up there, right, in my mind, is positive activity. We've been a very big player in the airline industry, so to speak, for such a small town for a long period
Absolutely.
Of time. And I think that's part of the reason why people have taken it so hard that, you know, we don't have jet service mm-hmm. into Four Corners Airport. And, I mean, it's a regular basis that I'm having conversations with folks about where we're at
right.
on that plan. So this increases activity, but there is a lot of activity already going on, and maybe you could tell us some of the numbers from this past year.
Well, basically, one of the things that that Farmington is a general aviation airport. And general aviation is defined as anything that's not military or commercial airline. So everything else, business jets, air ambulances, cargo haulers, and even individual Sunday afternoon flyers, they're all part of general aviation. So in 2022, we actually broke a record. We had 47,630 total operations for the year. And that runs to about 130 flights a day.
And that's so landings it's been and takeoffs both, right?
Right.
That's one.
One landing is an operation. One takeoff is an operation. So okay. I guess if you split it in half, that's how many takeoffs it would be. But, you know, is
it's still quite a bit.
It still sure is quite a bit. We're selling about 1,000 gallons a day in fuel. So that's up as a record. That's as high as I've seen it since I've been here, and I've been here 9 years. So I assume that the fuel sales were probably a little bit larger during the heyday of the airlines, but
sure.
without a commercial carrier buying a ton of fuel, that's a pretty substantial amount of fuel to be sold.
Well, and there's a flight school that's been going on there's this past year, so that's obviously added to those activities.
That sure has. That's had quite a bit to do with it. However, we're just seeing increased activity in spite of record high fuel prices. It is unbelievable. I don't think the general public realizes that these people that are flying in their small planes up here are paying $7.50 or $8 a gallon for fuel.
Wow.
I just saw in the region jet fuel go over $10 a gallon. And it's pretty amazing that aviation continues to grow with that, you know, that burden of high prices.
Well, with the activity going on with the flight school, I know a number of people who've been out there getting their pilot's license and then going out there and buying a plane. And
yeah.
So it definitely has created a little bit of a fervor mm-hmm. with that school, which is great.
Yeah, that's what we like to see. We like mm-hmm. to, and that's a very common thing. People come out, they take flight lessons, they get bitten by the aviation bug. They convince their significant other that it's time to buy an airplane, and the next thing you know, they're looking for a hangar or billet a hangar.
Well, Mike, you and I have had a couple of excursions out of the Farmington area talking to airlines. We did one in 2019 mm-hmm. Prior to the C word. I will not say it loud. Prior to that March 2020 day. And we managed at that time to get an MOU started with SkyWest Airlines.
That's right.
I know a lot of people were excited about that. SkyWest is, I believe, are they the biggest regional airline company?
They're the largest regional airline that's independent, yes.
And they serve United.
They serve United, American, Delta. They serve in Alaska.
And they're flying right now out of Durango for those folks, too, right?
Yeah. They fly out of Durango. They actually fly some flights out of Albuquerque, you know, and they fly... you know, out of the Phoenix hub, the Denver hub.
So out of the companies that we could choose, they're one of the top ones that we would like to see.
They are one of the top ones because of the partnerships that they have with other carriers, their location in the Western U.S., and their exemplary record for being a real top performer when it comes to completing flights and being on time and good customer service. They are absolutely the best carrier in the nation.
And we got to that point in 2019 with them, and then unfortunately that kind of, you know, bad things happened to the airline industry, just like bad things that happened all across the globe. But prior to that moment, we had spent $20+ million of federal money and local money. And
well, what we did to
in
be
in order to get our runway
right
up to date,
what we did was if we, the carrier Great Lakes gave us notice they were going to quit a service here, and a couple of months before that, I made an initial visit to talk to SkyWest, which then led to the visit that we went. I also applied for a $1 million subsidy from the Small Community Air Service Development program with the FAA, which we were granted. That's money to be used for marketing and startup costs. And then made a presentation to the FAA at our regional airport district office in Fort Worth, explaining to them that after our visit from SkyWest, there were some improvements to the airport that we needed in order for them to be able to fly according to the regulations into the airport with regional jets. We were able to get the FAA on board, and basically at that point in time agreed to about $25 million worth of various projects that would bring our airport up to speed to be able to handle regional jets. And that involved, we had to move some taxiways to make the distance between the runway and the taxiway further apart due to the higher speed and the larger size of the aircraft. And the FAA decided that while we're doing that, let's go ahead and overhaul the runway so that when we do start service, because we anticipated starting service, that we won't have to do that and interrupt that service. We upgraded lighting systems. We upgraded the visual landing system. And another big part of it was that we had to do a lot of work in what's called the runway safety area, which is the land that surrounds the runway. It has to be a certain gradient. It has to be without any objects and that kind of thing. So we had to do a lot of work to make that happen. We also upgraded the passenger terminal. We expanded the interior area for passenger boarding to accommodate 70 passenger jets. And when we did that, we had an architect from Denver that specializes in airport terminals, and they brought in the TSA engineers and worked with them so that we put together a product up here that's ready to go.
Kind of turnkey.
Turnkey.
So you said we built those terminals for 70 passenger jets. So is our runway now rated for a 70 passenger jet?
Well, it could be. It depends. The issue with the runway is that Farmington is unfortunate in that it's at 5,500 feet above sea level. That's where the air, of course, is thinner. And then when you add temperature, like 100 degree weather, in the middle of the day in Farmington, what happens is the air is thinner. The aircraft thinks it's at a higher altitude than 5,500 feet above sea level. Some days, that's known as density altitude. Some days an airplane would think it's at 8,500 or 9,000 feet. So what it does is it increases the amount of distance that the aircraft has to have for a takeoff, because it's predicated on right. A takeoff, an aborted takeoff, and be able to stop before the end of the runway. That's what it's predicated on. If you were flying out and everything was normal, you'd never know any difference in the length of the runway. So what that would do is that would limit a 70 passenger airplane to probably being morning departures when the weather's cooler and evening arrivals when the weather's cooler. The arrival isn't quite as critical as the takeoff.
Okay.
And so that's why we were, ultimately, I don't want to be overly optimistic and think that we would handle something bigger than 70 passenger jet. However, when we did the planning, we planned to add, we can add on to that terminal if we need to, so.
Well, part of why I wanted to have you on here, Mike, was one, to give that history, that update, and to remind folks we've not stopped working.
At all.
We remain in conversations, and there's challenges that we have no control over, that are impacting where we're at right now. But of the things that we can control to put ourselves in the best situation for an operator to come in and fly, we've done almost everything we can.
Everything.
Now, of course, is a matter of, the numbers have to work for those companies in order to operate here. And there's some programs that have come out to assist smaller regional airport
right.
communities like ours that would help pay for some of that. What can you kind of talk about that?
Yes, we've participated in, as I mentioned earlier, the Small Community Air Service Development Grant Program.
Right.
We've had that grant in our pocket for quite a while. There is a new program that has just been initiated by the state of New Mexico that would give us $2.75 million a year to use towards helping a carrier get their feet on the ground and develop the market. Those are the two primary programs that we have in place, and state program can run for 3 years, so we can consecutively ask for that money every year. I think, and I think you've seen the numbers in the studies that we've done, and we believe the numbers, that this market, once it gets started, will be able to stand on its own. I really, truly believe that the market is healthy enough to stand on its own, and that we'll need that money to get us started. But at some point in time, it will be able to take off and be profitable for whichever carrier chooses us.
Well, here's what I think, Mike. I think Farmington, regardless of challenges, you know, in industries here that are outside of our control, is on the up and up. I mean, I'm very optimistic about where this community is going. A great article the other day on CNBC. We had the highest increase in home values. We're the number one city in America. And while that's good and bad in the same breath, the idea is that, well, people want to move here. They're recognizing the value of living in a place with 280 days of sunshine, beautiful four seasons, and 10-minute commutes across town that make it easy. Big city amenities, small town feel. I think all those things play into it. And the outdoor lovers paradise component.
Absolutely.
We want to be a retirement community.
That's right.
I truly believe that is an untapped strength that we have. And having an airport that has
commercial
service helps feed that tremendously.
I mean, absolutely.
I know someday I'm going to retire or whatever, or my kids are maybe living abroad, and I'm going to want my kids to be able to fly in easily, and so I can see them, and I can fly out to visit them as well, and having a local airport. And I get that Durango's only 45 minutes away, but there's just so much benefit to having it right here in town.
That's right.
I mean, for obvious reasons that I think will help us even grow further. So
right.
It puts us back on the map and attracting new people and getting people to come and check out these great tourism amenities that we have, World Heritage Sites, and
and
the beauty that surrounds us. So I believe it's a critical component and one that we are going to continue to push for. Now, we recently have spoken with an airline who is working on some things, and we're trying to help them out. So we're hopeful that venture will take shape. But there's other airlines out there that have approached us. They have limited resources available, really limited places that they're flying to and from, that wouldn't serve our community ideally. Many people have asked, if we get an airline in here, where would they go? And what our research shows is the biggest hub is Denver.
Right.
And getting people to Denver then allows them more access to get to the other places they want to go. Of course, in the wintertime, Denver has its own issues too.
Right.
But certainly Phoenix, Dallas, those places are not off the table.
That's right.
For consideration. And I think
I think we need to, and you're right, I think we need to start with that strongest opportunity to get this off the ground. And I think once Farmington becomes a proven market, that these other markets will come. These other hubs are a true possibility. Because as you mentioned, driving to Durango, our study indicates that a lion's share of the people are driving to Albuquerque.
Still driving to Albuquerque.
And I think it's much easier to pick that crowd to stay in Farmington than to drive to Albuquerque.
Well, and the costs flying out of Durango at times are just really, really high. I mean, it's I don't like having to make that three-hour drive, but for the money I'm going to save, I do it.
Right.
I still do it.
I did it at Christmas, so.
Yeah. I don't want to do it. Especially when you get back late at night, and then you're like, well, I should just get a hotel room. But at that point, I don't know if I'm saving any money. So, Mike, I mean, is there anything else you want to kind of add as we kind of wrap this conversation up?
Well, I think again, I would like to add a couple of things. Number one is to let everybody know for sure that we've been working on getting a carrier here before the last carrier left.
Yeah.
I mean, we've taken all of these various steps. I don't know what else we could have done. I am incredibly blessed with having you and City Manager Mays be so well up to speed with what's going on in aviation, have been a great partner of mine in working forward to bringing air service here. I know when we go out and talk to some of these carriers and they ask questions, your answer is always yes, we'll make that happen. And I think we've been able to do that. I think we've put a very good taste in a lot of companies' mouth as far as what this community represents to the future of a small carrier.
Yeah. And there's a lot of things coming to Farmington that are going to be attractions for folks to get in and out of here that we are very aware of. And That to me is going to speak volumes to these companies. That I mean, they're in the game to make money,
right?
So they've got to make sure it's a it makes sense for them. But I think we're giving them a lot of reason to believe that this is a great market to develop.
Absolutely, I agree.
All right. Anything else, Mike?
I think that's it.
All right. Well, yeah, I appreciate you coming on and giving us that update, and I probably have you on here, again in the next probably within the next 12 months, because hopefully, sure, fingers crossed, we'll see some movement in the right direction. Interested, at some point we'll come back and talk about that 1500 hour rule. It just seems really arbitrary. What is the number 1500 based on?
Well, it basically was, there's a couple of different parties that are pushing that. We're pushing the 1500 hour. One was the pilots union.
Yeah,
they're trying to create a scarcity of pilots to increase wages, and another was a group of concerned passengers or parents who had lost some family members in a crash, and their idea was that they were going to make the airlines as safe as they possibly could be, and sort of join forces with some of the other groups and just boosted that number up to 1500.
Yeah, quadruple the number.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can take a...
These are the things that, government makes these actions. And I understand. I mean, if I lost a family member on a flight and there was any way, we found out it's because the pilots, didn't have enough experience or the pilots weren't rested enough. I mean, you'd want to make sure it doesn't happen to other people.
Right.
Unfortunately, bad things happen to good people every single day.
Right.
Just get on the interstate in any city and...
Right.
It's wild. But we can talk a little bit more about that.
Absolutely.
Next time. So please come back and see us again. All right.
I will.
And I appreciate all that you have done for this airport, even in the midst of, just the fact, the activity that we have going on up there. I mean, it speaks to volumes to your leadership as well. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
And thank you for joining us here. We hope the information shared today is valuable to you. Share it with your friends and family. Remember, we're on YouTube. We're also now a podcast, so you can find us on Spotify and other podcast apps. But the community needs to know that we're still working, tirelessly working, and trying to put together a plan to bring in and attract new commercial air service to Four Corners Airport. So, Mike Lewis, thanks again for being here. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you again next time on the Mayor's Daily.